One thing I know, though I was blind, now I see. That was the testimony to the religious leaders of the man who had been born blind after he had been healed and made to see by Jesus. And it's a well-known statement because it's how many people describe the difference that Jesus has made in their lives ever since. Since coming to know Him and the truth about Him and how to be set free from their sins. And it's an expression that it's full of wonder. It's full of amazement at the change Jesus has made in us. But even as wonderful as that is, do you remember the leader's response to the man believing that Jesus had come from God and been empowered by God to give him sight? They did anything but rejoice. They accused him of having been born in utter sin, and they cast him out of the local synagogue, claiming to be righteous in themselves, claiming themselves to have eyes to be able to see who's from God and who is not, when in fact they were the ones who were spiritually blind. So think about the situation. Here is this newly healed man, not only having been thrown out of his local church for having been healed by the Messiah, the Son of God and Son of Man, but also in essence, he's now been made an outcast in society further than he ever was as a blind man, because these men held all the local political power as well as all the local ecclesiastical power. This is what happened to this man, but this is also what awaited any first century Jews who decided to believe that Jesus was the Messiah and to worship him along with this man. That's a tough spot to be in, isn't it? To be threatened with church excommunication as well as community ostracism and ill treatment for believing in Jesus to be everything that he claimed to be. This was the situation in the first century. And of course, this has been repeated on different levels ever since. So here's the question. How do we make sense of the position of this man and many others, the position this man and many others have found themselves in to one degree or another? And where do we look for help and strength? Well, it's found in what Jesus said about these men, these leaders, in comparison to himself, using the analogy of shepherding. Something that the people were very familiar with, because Judea was not a great place for agricultural farming, but it was a really good place to raise sheep. And therefore, it was something that the people were very familiar with in their everyday lives, but it was something they were also very familiar with from the Old Testament scriptures, as many of their most respected ancestors were shepherds, men like Jacob, men like Moses, men like David. And of course, we know that the Lord himself was called by David as his shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And then even the prophets compared Israel's leaders to being shepherds of God's people. And even now, as 21st century Christians, it's something that we're familiar with if we've been Christians for very long, because elders in the New Testament are called to do what? To shepherd the flock of God that they are in charge of. And so once again, as we pick up the story of Jesus and his dealing with this man who had been born blind, Jesus uses the expression, "Truly, truly, I say to you," to get our attention in the importance of what he's about to reveal and what he says in one of the most beloved portions of God's Word. Hear it as I read verses 1 through 21 of John 10. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and to destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take up again. This charge I have received from my Father." There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, "He has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him?" Others said, "These are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" This ends the reading of God's word to us this Lord's Day. Well, again, we see Jesus use these words, "Truly, truly, I say to you." So what truths did Jesus impart to them? Well, the first truth that he imparted that we need to know is that not all who claim to be shepherds are really shepherds of God's people, as this blind man, now healed, came to see. And it makes sense, and it makes sense, although it's very sad, that just because someone has the title pastor or elder or minister or reverend, and even be given that title by a church or a denomination, it doesn't mean they're really a shepherd, right? It doesn't mean they're a true shepherd. It doesn't mean that they're really representing God or looking out for our best interest. And you could say the same for any kind of leader who claims to be a child of God and caring for God's people. Just because they have a claim, just because they have a title, just because they have a position. And of course, to illustrate this, Jesus refers to what everyone would have known about a community sheepfold. In some of the larger areas, there would be a community sheepfold, which was a good way to kind of describe Israel at this point in history. And what was interesting about the community sheepfold is that every evening, shepherds would bring their sheep to stay each night. And as with all sheepfolds, there were four walls with one door, so that there was only one way in, and that was supposed to be through that door. And someone would be hired to guard the sheep at night so that the shepherds could rest. Now, you might be thinking, as you think about that arrangement, how could they ever sort out everyone's sheep from one another? And what was amazing, it was very simple. Sheep will respond and follow their shepherd when they hear his voice. Because the shepherds would name their sheep, you know, just kind of like if you hung out with sheep all along, kind of like your dog, you would name them, you know, Fluffy or Grumpy or, you know, whatever name you want to put in there, you'd probably name your sheep. Well, the sheep would are very, very good at recognizing their shepherd's voice. And they'll follow, and they'll follow out, and everyone gets their sheep, and they go out each day, and they do this repeatedly, day in and day out. But obviously, if someone tries to enter the sheepfold another way, he's not a shepherd. No, he's a thief or a robber. Someone who comes to steal the sheep, possibly, and use them for their own selfish purposes. And the sheep don't naturally follow them because they're strangers. They don't know their voice. And so through this illustration, Jesus is describing the Jewish leaders as what? The corrupt Jewish leaders there, he's describing many of them as being thieves and robbers, who really weren't shepherds of the sheep, but they were trying to exploit the sheep for their personal interest. And can you imagine? Boy, nailing it to the wall, just like Jesus does many other times. But that raises then an interesting question. How do you tell the difference? How do you tell the difference between a true shepherd and a false shepherd? Well, there's a lot of ways. But this time, Jesus explained using the analogy of a different type of sheepfold, a rural sheepfold, which didn't have a gate. It would be used by only one shepherd, okay? It didn't have a gate, but a mere opening, and it only contained that one flock. Well, what would happen? At night, the shepherd would bring his sheep into the sheepfold, and you know what he would do? He would actually lay down in the opening and become, as it were, the door or the passageway, so that nothing could go in or out except by going over or through him. And so Jesus explained when they couldn't understand, he says, "I am the door of the sheep," which means the way into the sheepfold is through him and through him alone. If someone claims to be a shepherd of the sheep, but he doesn't believe you have to get into the sheepfold by going through him, then what does that tell you? They're really not a shepherd. They're not a true shepherd of God. And as we look at the influence of liberal Christian theology, we see this all the time. We see where it is claimed that Jesus isn't the only way to God, and that you don't have to put your trust in Jesus to receive the forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. You can get to him through other religions. You can get through him just because you mean well. Or we see it when universalism is preached. And it's claimed that everyone is a child of God, no matter what you believe, no matter what you think, no matter what you do. Just by being a human being, you're a child of God. You don't need to go through Jesus. Whoever says that, they're not true shepherds. They're wolves. They're thieves, as it were. They're leaders who claim such things are actually being used of the evil one to steal people away to him, to seek to kill them spiritually, and seek to destroy any true following of Jesus. Whereas those who enter the sheepfold of God by Jesus, what did he say? They'll go in and out. They'll go in and be part of the fold. They'll go in and out, and they'll find pasture, and they'll have life and have it abundantly. Because Jesus is the door. Jesus is the entrance into the sheepfold. He's the one door through whom eternal life is received. And not only that, they're brought into a position of safety. They're brought into a position of nurture. They're constantly being led to green pastures which feed them richly. What a comparison. What a difference, right? Now, how is all that possible? Well, because of a second major truth. Jesus is not only the door of the sheep, but notice what he goes on to say. He's actually the good shepherd who genuinely takes care of his sheep and cares for their every need. And what's interesting about this title that Jesus claims for himself, the good shepherd, is there's actually two Greek words in the Bible that can be translated in English as good. The first one refers to moral goodness, but the one used here actually refers to beauty or excellence, which means that Jesus is not only the moral who does good things shepherd, he's the shepherd that far surpasses the rest in his character and in his work as our good shepherd. He's the good shepherd. Sometimes he's said in the Bible to be the chief shepherd. Y'all ever heard seen that in the scriptures? What sets him apart? Well, it says, he says, I'm the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. That's the first thing that sets him apart. Now, here's a question. How ready are you to lay down your life for someone else? Probably not real ready, right? Especially if you say, are you ready to lay down your life for some dirty, stinky, prone to wander, not too bright sheep? And yet that's what Jesus did for us because he cares for us. Have you ever done a study on sheep? It's just not a pretty thing. They're really a lot of trouble. Everything I've read is they're one of the hardest, if not the hardest, livestock to raise. Because they're prone to get into trouble. They have no natural defenses. They're not very bright in the way that they do, and they keep doing the same things over and over again. They're constantly needing care. You provide the care that they need. You put them in green pastures, and they're not satisfied with that. They have just a little place in the wall or the fence, and they'll sneak out and go and wander off, and it's just work and work and work. And if we're real honest, that's us, right? That's sinful, fallen humanity. And yet we read here that Jesus, it's not just that he was willing to risk his life in order to protect and provide for us, but it says that he chose to lay it down. He chose of his own will and in obedience to the charge he received from his Father. He came to earth knowing that he was coming to die so that we would live. Now, compare him to someone who's not a shepherd. Because there's shepherds who, yes, were thieves and robbers, but there's also, he said, there's shepherds that are like a hired hand. Someone that's just hired. Many of their spiritual leaders were like that in that they were simply in it for the job. You ever met a minister that was just in it for the job you came to figure out? It's a sad thing, isn't it? They're just in it for the job. All they have to do is see the wolf coming, and what'll happen if they're just a hired hand? I'm out of here. And they'll let the sheep be taken over. Well, we see that in different types of ways. We see that sometimes in ministers who see all kinds of falsehoods being promoted and evil people threatening the flock, but they won't speak up. They won't protect the flock. Instead, they'll choose to save themselves or save their position. And back in my dad's life, I watched him battle different battles and saw some men choose to do that very thing. They acted like they were hirelings when crunch time came and the flock was in danger. But here's Jesus, and what does he do? He lays down his life for the sheep as the good shepherd. But then his goodness is also seen in how Jesus knows us. He knows his sheep. And if we are his, we know him. And this is much more than simply being known for who we are. But he actually compares it, if you notice, to the knowledge that God the Father and God the Son have for each other. That's as intimate as it gets. And yet he says, I know my sheep, and my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they know me. There's an intimacy, there's a fellowship, there's a commitment to one another. And I thought about this week, you know, as your pastor, I know each of you on different levels, right? I know each of you on different levels. It depends how long I've been your pastor. It depends what I've walked through in your life. It depends, you know, just on different types of factors. I have some kind of idea of your needs. I have some kind of idea of your struggles. Hopefully I've been a help to you. But sadly, I'm sure there are ways that I don't even know what, that I failed you. And I'll fail you again. Hopefully not intentionally, but I just won't be a perfect shepherd to you. But then there's Jesus. Jesus who actually knows you inside and out. He knows right now the hurts that you have. He knows the fears. He knows the wounds. He knows the issues. He knows everything. And He's always taking the right steps to shepherd you and to care for you and to work out His purpose, perfect purposes for you as His child. And every day, you may not realize it, but you're getting to know Him. And you're beginning to know Him a little more, how much He cares for you and is at work in you. And He makes sure, as you see in Psalm 23, He makes sure that you're not in want. He's at work to protect you. He's correcting and disciplining you with His rod and His staff. He comforts you. He reassures you that you will dwell in the house of the Lord with Him forever. And so Jesus, as the good shepherd, provides the things that we need, and He actually provides the things that we desire the most. Think about it. What do you want the most? You want to be rescued and cared for, right? You really want to be rescued and cared for. Every one of us, if we're honest, we know we're sinners. We know we're broken. We know we're going to face death one day. We know life is hard, and we want to be rescued and cared for. And Jesus does that by laying down His life for the sheep. But there's another part of us. We want to be known. We want to be known at the deepest of levels, and we want to be perfectly loved, warts and all. Did y'all say amen to that? Is that not true? We want those things. We feel the need for those things. Who can provide those things for us? Only Christ can. So He's the door of the sheep. He's the good shepherd who lays down His life for the sheep. But there's another major truth that's needed to be known. And that's what Jesus said, that He had other sheep that were not part of the fold of Israel that He intended to bring to Himself and shepherd. And this was Jesus' way of saying that as the good shepherd, He was going to bring Gentiles who are not of the fold of Israel to be a part of His fold. In fact, as we know, living 2,000 years later, He's been bringing people from every tribe and tongue and nation to Himself and into the true church. And here's the beautiful picture. He's such a good shepherd. He's going to bring all of these sheep together with the sheep in Israel, the true sheep, so that there will be one flock and one shepherd. Just kind of feed on that a little bit today. The beauty of that. Isn't that what we really want in our nation? We want to be united as a people. We want to be united under God. Who's able to unite people truly? When we have all these issues, all these pasts, all these sins, all the stuff. What's Jesus? He's alone the only one who can do that. Who has the ability to overcome everything that divides us by bringing us to Himself, so that then we come to acknowledge the same God as our God and Father, the same Lord and Savior as our Lord and Savior, the same an agreement that the Word of God is the truth and has authority over our lives and how we're to think and how we're to believe and how we're to live. The same redemption, the same forgiveness of sins that we've not only received but we're called to extend to one another. The same purpose, the same hope is through Jesus Christ. It will be experienced in the church and through Christ. And as much as we work for it within the world, it does not come from those. We can't expect we can get to some level of unity, but we cannot have the unity that only Christ can give if one does not believe and someone does. Because we don't believe in the same things. We don't agree to the same authorities. We don't worship the same God. And of course, we're to love and we're to care for and we're to forgive and we're to act in the name of Christ. But our hope should be and our understanding should be, where do these things come from? These blessings. It comes through Christ and being united through Him. And then we see that this is the ultimate reason Jesus was willing to lay down His life. It was to rescue His sheep. It was to, in order for there to be one flock and one shepherd. And He accomplishes this, our salvation and our adoption, not only by laying down His life, but notice what He says, I lay down my life and I take it up again. We may not see that. That's a clear claim to divinity. Because God alone is the author of life, the giver of life, the one who can raise up life. And so He's done all of these things in obedience to the charge of His Father. Being perfectly obedient. And we know that we're part of His flock if we've listened to His voice and we've gained entrance through repentance of our sins and faith in Him as the way to God. And so we need to be looking to Him as our good shepherd. We need to be looking to Him as the door into the sheepfold. And we need to know that someone is a true under-shepherd who's also shepherding under Him if they believe in Jesus as the only door of the sheep, and as they're willing to lay down their lives in a similar way, obviously not for the forgiveness of our sins, but they give up their life for the sheep. This is so much in these 21 verses, right? What a beautiful thing that Jesus reveals. All these things that are true, truly, truly, I say to you. Truly, truly, I'm the door of the sheep. Truly, truly, I'm the good shepherd who lays down His life for the sheep. May we turn to Him and look to Him to shepherd and to provide for our every need. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You for being the good shepherd, the shepherd above all shepherds, who far surpasses in what You have, who You are, and what You have done and what You are doing and able to do. And Lord, we thank You for Your faithfulness to us, even though we are unfaithful many times. We thank You, Lord, for Your perfect work. Lord, though there are many who have the role, the calling of shepherd, who have not been faithful. Lord, we pray that You would work and bless your people, that You would bless, Lord, Your church. And Lord, we thank You because of what You've already done, You've promised. We can be confident that you will. Lord God, be at work in each of our hearts. You know us. You know just what we need today. what we're going to need tomorrow, what we're going to need on the next day. And Lord, thank you for your for the confidence that we can have in you. And so bless your people, we ask now, as we pray in your name. Amen.